And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I'm GopherDigest.com publisher Ryan Burns. We welcome you back to a less, I would say, less positive, maybe, potentially. We'll see how the podcast goes, but less, maybe a little bit less positive after a 27-0 loss to Northwestern. It's the Big Ten opener on the road, and it wasn't very pretty. So luckily, to break down the game and talk everything Gophers, his former Gopher offensive lineman, Derek Burns. So, Derek, how are you feeling about this Gopher team tonight?
Well, I do still like talking college football, win, lose, or draw. There's always some things to learn and things to take away, and there's going to be plenty of room for improvement, that's for sure. So I'm glad to be back with you. But in general, it was a poor performance. It was I think it was one of those games where they needed to – Northwestern's a good team, and they needed to play well in order to be competitive. And certainly on the offensive side of the ball, that didn't happen, and I think it ended up snowballing on them.
All right, let's start with that offensive side of the ball, and let's talk a little bit about just the performance of the offense in general. So, you know, to start the game, that very first drive, other than stalling out, things started off kind of looking pretty good, and then basically we played the rest of the game. So, Derek, give me your impressions of the offense. What did you think? Obviously, there were struggles. You know, can you kind of pinpoint some of those struggles, and maybe even who kind of stood out on offense that maybe actually played well in what seemingly is fans are kind of saying was an abysmal performance by the offense?
Yeah, well, I think at the beginning of the game, the Gophers took a very similar approach to the Ohio game. They were ready to spread the ball out horizontally when needed, came out with a jet sweep and were ready to throw the bubble screen. And I think early on in the first couple series, they were able to get some movement. Unfortunately, I just thought, in my opinion, Northwestern made their adjustments after seeing the look, you know, from the Gophers the first couple times and adjusted their post-snap reads and really pinned their ears back against the run and came downhill. And from that point on, it was very tough sledding for the Gophers. Obviously, that's their identity. The Gophers' identity is they want to run the ball. And when Northwestern, you know, when they had it in their minds that they were going to stop the run and you know, really come downhill, there just wasn't much there for the Gophers. So, you know, overall, it was a tough game and you know, one of those where if you're not able to play to your identity, which is running the ball, then you need help in other areas. And unfortunately, again, when they needed to go to the pass or needed to you know, pull some plays from other areas, they came up with nothing. And that's what happens, you know, to get shut out. It's definitely not the case where one thing goes wrong. It's almost always the case where you come in with your game plan and that doesn't work, or for one reason or another, you're not able to get traction. And so when you try plan B or plan C, and that doesn't work and you don't come away with success, then that's, you end up in a shutout. So to answer your question about, you know, if you were going to look for any bright spots, I did still think the running back position, you have two guys that are running very hard and still, you know, I think that looks good. And, you know, in the fullback position, I thought struggled a bit, but the running backs, I think are still look for good things from that group to come. And I thought they did okay on Saturday, but again, overall, it was a tough day.
I think that's really the only positive thing as a position group, I would say, that you can look at from the Northwestern loss on Saturday, was that I didn't think that the running backs left too many yards to be earned, I should say. I think they created a lot. They got the yards they were supposed to, and then they got a few more. The tough part was every other position group didn't have their best day. Like you said, Miles Thomas, I thought he had a rough day trying to seal whatever the crease was for the Gopher running back. The tight ends were too often put on skates, or they didn't get their cut block or down block or even trying to even set the edge for the running back if you were to bounce it out. I saw Rodney Smith bounce it out a few times, and the guy making the play would be whoever the tight end had in the slot in the trips formation there. But it was just a culmination of a lot of different position groups not having their best day. And you're going to have days like that, and it's tough to watch sometimes. I mean, a lot of people are still going to continue to point to the quarterback, and I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit later. But, again, I just don't put the sole blame or the majority of the blame on Mitch Leidner. There's so much else wrong with this Gopher offense right now. The offensive line is literally a mash unit. Joe Bjorklund left halfway through the second quarter because he's too injured to go. So you're basically your only other healthy lineman in Foster Bush playing at left guard, and I didn't think he played particularly well. The wide receiver unit had issues getting separation all day, and that's why when Leidner did have time to throw the ball, he'd hold it. He held it an extra second or two because there was nobody open downfield. It was just a combination of things. And when things like that happen, that's what you're going to see what happened on Saturday. So it wasn't pretty, that's for sure, Luke.
Yeah, so we saw the debut of Demaryius Crawford, the much-talked-about backup quarterback that everybody has been yearning to have play. So I don't know, at least for me, I think it points to that what we've talked about for a long time, that there has been struggles in other places than just execution at the quarterback position. And, you know, to have an effective offense, you need a well-oiled machine where lots of things are working in sync. And Demery, you know, making a debut against a strong defense like Northwestern, did a few good things, maybe did a few not so good things. What were your guys' opinions of Demery's debut?
Well, you know, to be honest, it was real difficult to come to many conclusions just because of the game situation. I think, you know, first and foremost, he was able to run the offense, so to speak. You know, didn't look too shaky where he was, you know, having problems with the center quarterback exchange or handing off or fumbling or really panicking in any way. So I guess that's step one. But tough to evaluate beyond that. I mean, they were, early on, I think Northwestern was playing when he came in, we're playing a lot of off coverage, you know, because of the score and the point in the game. So he threw some nice sideline routes, threw some good balls, and was able to pick up a couple passes. But, and then later they were onto that and tightened up their coverage. And, you know, he threw a few in there that were pretty close. So, just overall, it was tough to – I think we saw athletically what we've heard. You know, he throws a good ball. He's able to run. He's able to move around when he needs to, and I don't think any of that was a big surprise, but it's awfully tough to judge on that handful of plays to say, well, whether or not he can run the entire offense and make audible checks at the line and be able to run personnel in and out, you know, according to the plays being called and things like that. It'd be tough to jump to that conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of fans were clamoring for Demery, and again, it's a tough situation to be thrown into when you're down 27-0 and the defense just pins their ears back and sends five or six guys the entire time you're in there because they know that you're a true freshman getting your first time in the Big Ten. So, I mean, I thought he played well for the handful of snaps he was in there. He was 5 for 11 for 27 yards, and he was sacked three times, but some of those misses that he had were true freshman mistakes, and he's lucky that Minnesota didn't have one result in an interception. As he had a couple of Northwestern defenders in the hands a couple of times, but I'm in the boat now that since Demery had his red shirt burned, he should be the guy. I just think he should be the guy or have a shot at being the guy going forward. I talked about it today on Gopher Digest, but one of the Achilles heels of this Gopher offense dating back to when Kill Guy here in 2011 is the quarterback position. And Minnesota has signed seven quarterbacks since 2011, and four of them have transferred out, and another just switched positions on Saturday as it was announced Chris Strebler is now a wide receiver. So Minnesota only has two scholarship quarterbacks. And I don't know if there's obviously some blame to go around, but
that's such a position of incredibly high attrition that I don't know who the blame goes to. I mean, I haven't seen a position with this kind of attrition at Minnesota in a long time. I mean, four of your seven quarterbacks have transferred out. So you have Dexter Foreman, you have Philip Nelson, Dominic Roden McKenzie. Who else am I forgetting here, Luke?
Max Shortell.
And Max Shortell.
Yep.
So it's just, I don't know how you prepare for that. It's something where the Minnesota's had a quarterback transfer out, it seems like, every year since Kills got here, and now they only have two scholarship guys. And one of them isn't particularly playing well right now. Again, it's not solely on the shoulders of Mitch Leiner, these offensive struggles, but it's just, I think that Minnesota has it's just tough to say, because I think Mitch Leiner may give this team the best chance to win against Purdue on Saturday. But, I mean, you have to be looking long-term now. You have only two scholarship guys. And, I mean, Derek, would you agree with me if I were to say that Devery Croft, now that the redshirt is burned, and obviously you can't take it back, he has the higher ceiling between he and Mitch Leiner?
There's no higher ceiling. And the one caveat I would throw in, and Ryan, you've seen more practices than I have, but I will say he has to be able to handle a full game plan. And maybe he can. I don't know. I'm not saying he can't. But in order to have him start and actually not just come in with certain personnel or certain packages, he does have to be able to handle a full game plan. And so that's not just, not just the full bevy of plays that they want to run, but he's also got to have his audible checks and check downs. And like I said, all of the things you need to do at the quarterback position in order to be effective. And maybe he's not going to be perfect in all those areas, but he has to be able to do that to a capable level. And so, yeah, if he can do that, if he's ready for that, then yeah, I think you've got to turn the page and see what you've got and see how things progress. And it doesn't mean you start down that road and that you never turn back. But, I agree with you. I think they have to see what they have and how things turn out. And it might be bumpy, and there's certainly going to be some more mental mistakes, I think, than Mitch. But at the same time, I do agree with you. There's more upside.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, fans now have to realize if you don't want Mitch Leiner in there, then you're going to have to deal with a true freshman making his first Big Ten plays or his first collegiate plays, and there's going to be some bumps. There's going to be some big bumps. There's going to be some small bumps, but there's going to be a lot of bumps. Devery learns how to play quarterback in the Big Ten. And like you said, can he handle a full game plan? Well, I think that also comes down to offensive coordinator Matt Leinglober. He's got to really simplify the game plan, I think, as you don't want to overwhelm him. You want to have him have two or three reads on the play and really run plays that are things that he's comfortable with, because if you're going to throw out a bunch of different complex schemes at him, he's probably not going to do as well. But going forward, I, as Kiel said or alluded to on Sunday, Mitch Leiner is still the guy. Whether it's popular or unpopular among fans and whoever, and media members for some, but I think it has to be a quarterback by committee. It is what it is now. It's just Mitch hasn't been consistent. He hasn't been consistently making throws. I don't know if, I mean, Derek, from watching the 2014 film and the early 2015 film, it seems like Mitch is, I don't know that he's laboring, but he's definitely not as explosive. Especially in the read option game. I mean, you and I were speculating that, Minnesota may open it up a little bit more in the read option game. It's something that they really hadn't done in the non-conference. And then the Big Ten opener comes this past weekend, and it looks like Leiner's still a little bit hesitant, or the staff's hesitant. I mean, do you think that, for whatever reason, Killer's very tight-lipped about injuries, but do you think that he's dealing with something that staff and the team doesn't want out there? I mean, do you think looks a less explosive?
Yes, I do. I think there's a couple things. First is I do think he has looked less explosive. Even on not just the read option, but on plays where he's had to scramble or like a naked bootleg and things like that, he doesn't look like he has the fifth gear, so to speak, that he had before. I mean, he was, you know, when he first debuted, he had was able to get vertical and kind of surprise people given his size. And I don't know the reason, but I agree. I don't think that's there. The other thing, though, is I'm inclined to say that I do think the staff has made, I don't know this, but in my opinion, they've made the decision to not, because of the quarterback situation and the depth, they made the decision to not run him as much consciously. So I think that for sure is factored in where they you know, in 2014 and maybe in a perfect scenario in this offense, I think Kill and Limegrover would probably like to run the quarterback 10 or 12 keeps. Maybe that's a little high, but 10 keeps on read option per game and maybe 20 go to the running back if that's how it shakes out. And it's been less than half of that this year. And I think that's by on purpose.
Okay. The last thing that I just want to touch on with Derek here, and then we can move on from the quarterback position. That's obviously, as I said, there's a lot of different things going on with this Gopher offense that are contributing to the struggles. But from rewatching the game here a couple times in the last 24 hours, it seems that, I mean, Mitch's mechanics are just, and as they have been the last few games, just all out of whack. I mean, he's really throwing too many times off of his back foot, and especially if there's, he feels pressure, he sees pressure, it's like he's throwing it and then trying to duck, trying to just, you know, take the hit as best as he can, whereas, you know, other quarterbacks are, you know, throw it and then just take the brunt, whatever it is, but try to deliver the most accurate throw. But, my question for you is, do you think that, I mean, what do you think's going on with, you know, his mechanics of sorts?
Yeah, I agree about when he's had pressure this year, he has not stepped into his throws and gotten behind the throws. And I will say in this offense, they do run a lot of plays that require they're not quick over the middle routes, little dump down routes for the most part. I mean, their throws, corner routes and out routes and you know, the occasional post and things like that, where you have to step into it and get your throw. And besides that, Mitch does not have an overly fast throwing motion. So when you combine those couple things, he does have to, you know, get his wind up and step into throw in order to be accurate. And this year, when he's had pressure, which has unfortunately been more than he would like, he's not stepped into his throws the way he needs to. And that's going back to, you know, to the first couple of games, even when he was throwing down the field more and just wasn't getting everything into it and was under throwing guys and saw it a little bit on Saturday. So I don't know if it's a confidence issue or doesn't want to take the shots or if there's an injury underneath that we're not hearing about, but I do agree with that. I don't think that he's, you know, accuracy-wise and mechanics-wise, it's not been the same as it was last year. The last thing I'll say is, the other thing that could be factoring in is, last year the Gophers were able to run the ball more effectively, and so he was able to throw in some games, you know, 15, 20 times a game, and that was all they needed. And this year he's being asked, if you just look at the attempt numbers, he's being asked to throw sometimes twice as much as he was last year. And so that may not be his game. I mean, he may not be the 35 attempts a game guy to be, you know, consistent in all 35 throws. So that could also factor in just the sheer number of times he's being asked to, you know, to come up with plays on the offensive side and just not being able to deliver thus far in four out of the five games, really.
All right, just to close on the offense, one more question about, and we'll start with Derek, one more question about the passing game in general. How much of this, the struggle for receivers to get open is scheme and just youth? Because we are, you know, we're playing a lot of redshirt freshmen and even a true freshman receiver. You know, for the most part, it is youth, aside from maybe KJ May and Wolitarski. You know, how much of that is youth and how much of that is scheme?
I think that it starts with the scheme the Gophers have run since Kill has been here. Their passing game, and we've alluded to it on previous weeks, they've not had, for better or for worse, they've not had a spread it out, three-step, quick passing game where, you know, you line up and the teams, you know, if you're in four or five wide receivers, your defense is going to be in the zone, and guys try to settle in the pockets in the zone, and you just, you know, you try to pick them apart with 5 and 6 yard passes. That's not been their identity passing the ball. Where what they've tried to do, with the exception of the occasional bootleg, is they like to run long play action, get guys downfield, throwing corner routes, things to the sideline, out routes, corner routes, things like that. And so they've seen more man coverage this year, I think, and with the exception of the Northwestern game where they predominantly went zone. And so it's more difficult to get open on those routes. And so I think it starts with the scheme. Of course, it doesn't matter what the defense is doing. If you have, you know, if you have a blue chip wide receiver, he's going to find a way to get open. But I think scheme wise, that's been a struggle for him. And secondly, what Ryan talked about earlier, when you keep a tight end or a fullback or both in on pass protection, which you like to do on long play action, that doesn't give you a lot of short underneath routes. So your looks on those plays tend to be you're checking one or two guys down the field, and if they're not wide open or not really open, then you're not going to throw the ball. And if we know Kill like we think we do, I would guess that those quarterbacks are coached to not throw in the tight windows unless necessary. So I think, I guess I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to the receivers at this point. No, they have not been wide open, and they do need to get open more, of course, but I do think a lot of it comes down to scheme and some risk aversion in the passing game, and just not trying to hit those guys in tight windows and you know, not having a lot of short check down routes, just given the nature of the play calls.
Absolutely. I mean, Kill's all about risk aversion. I mean, you look at all the different calls he makes from, you know, timeouts to whether he goes for it on fourth and short. It's all about risk aversion. And I knew there were going to be some lumps, as I've been trying to stress to people here on the podcast, that there were going to be some lumps here with the young wide receivers, but I only can say that so many times when the guys that are actually out there running are a senior in KJ May, a sophomore in Eric Carter, and a junior in Drew Wolitarski. It's tough when Leiner does hold the ball and he does have time and he looks downfield and you see him scanning and there's no one open. And that's been an issue, and that was a huge issue on Saturdays. Maybe it was the route tree, maybe it was the route combinations, or maybe it was just personnel, but Minnesota couldn't get open constantly. If you go back and watch the game, there were many times where these receivers weren't open and Leiner's trying to just fit a ball into tight windows. Like Derek said, he's not comfortable in doing is it. I don't know if it's, you know, he personally or what he's been taught, but it was just, it's tough. I mean, it just seems like Minnesota's route tree for these receivers is about, you know, 7 different routes, and that's it. And I think, you know, defenses are scheming towards that where they see the different formations and, you know, here's what potential routes are going to come out of this, and it's really catching up to them. And it's just, I'm just so flabbergasted. I just don't understand, Derek, why Minnesota continues to throw fade routes to guys that are 5'10" in Eric Carter and KJ May when you have guys like Rashad Still, Isaiah Gentry on the sidelines, and that's their game. You have an all-state basketball player, and especially against Ohio, Rashad Still made the same play on the sidelines for a nice 20-something yard gain, yet they continue to throw these fade routes to 5'10" versus 5'10" when you can throw it to 6'4.5" or 6'6". This is just a position that I'm just confused about, as I know that wide receivers coach Brian Anderson has paid so much attention to different routes and running the route the right way. And then come Saturday, these guys can't get open. I don't have an answer for it, and it's frustrating.
Yeah, on the fade issue, it would be interesting to to sit down with the coaches and actually look at some of those fades to find out whether that's the first look. I know that quarterbacks are taught, again, when you've got a couple routes going deep, they're taught to read the safety, of course. And when they see, you know, the safety come down on a post or come down on a tight end seam, for example, their next check is to throw the fade because they know they're going to have one-on-one coverage. So I don't know if that's the case, but it could be the case, and maybe more than one of those opportunities where that may not be the first look, but they're seeing the way the safety's playing it, like you said, because they've schemed the Gophers, and they're looking at tendencies and determining when they're running in this formation, we're going to see a post fade look, and they know they're going to take the post given the personnel. So that could be the case. I will say if that's their first look and they're lining up one of those guys, you know, on the outside and they're calling a fade to them, that's something they've got to look at. I have a hard time believing that that's what they're on the snap of the ball or on the scheme of the play, that's what they're setting out to do. And if they are, they've got to look at that. I mean, they've got to come back and look at what they're trying to accomplish.
All right. So we've talked quite a bit of offense, obviously early now. Let's flip to the other side of the ball and talk a little defense. You know, in a loss where, you know, you lose 27-0, I'd like to get your opinions on this defense. I personally didn't think that they played as bad as the score indicates, but obviously they had, you know, maybe some more struggles than they have previously this season. Derek, let's get your thoughts first.
Well, I think that with the exception of a big chunk in the second half where I thought schematically they slipped up, and I can talk about that. I thought they played good. I thought they played well. I mean, effectively they gave up 13 points. You're talking about a punt return for a near touchdown and a fumble, you know, an offensive fumble that was locked in for a touchdown. So, you know, and for the beginning of the game was very tight. And I thought that, again, overall, I thought they played pretty well. You know, coverage wise, they didn't let anything behind them. I don't think they had any egregious breakdowns in coverage. You know, the scheme seems to be that's sort of developed for playing the Gophers defense is to give a heavy dose of running the ball, whether that be with zone or option looks, and to throw short passing, you know, whether it's stop routes against zone coverage or comeback routes and back shoulder routes against man coverage. And I think that's what they're going to see from here on out until things change. On the negative side, I thought that, and talked a little bit about it on Twitter, early in the game, Northwestern was predominantly running outside zone sweeps and running things sideline to sideline, and I thought Minnesota played that very well. In the second half, they adjusted and came back with a two-back inside zone where they had a fullback or a tight end or an H-back lined up to block the defensive end, and that really hurt them. They had a series and a half or two series in the second half where they really got creased with inside zone, and that was disappointing to see. I mean, and that's part of zone football. You know, that's what you want. You get defenses running sideline to sideline, and then you come back with an inside zone and look for cutbacks, and they were able to do that. And credit to their running back, he's fast, and he knows how to run their offense and those offensive running plays. And so I thought that was a little bit of a blemish for the Gophers defense in the game. But again, overall, I thought that they played well, and Northwestern respected their secondary and adjusted their game plan accordingly. And you know, the last thing I have to say, and maybe this is a little bit, sounds like whining a little bit, but it seems that for two games in a row, we're kind of getting this Gopher defense has a way of getting the best out of the opponent's quarterback. There were some throws, you know, on the Ohio quarterback and the Northwestern quarterback that were just, they're just flat out great throws, and it's tough to, you know, when they run a comeback route or a timing route and the secondary is right with them and they catch the ball and they're tackled immediately. It's tough to play it any better than that. So I have to give some credit to the opposing team's quarterback too. He had a very good day and, you know, they were ready with that game plan. And I think he overachieved, frankly, and you know, it's a credit to them.
It does seem like Minnesota can't catch a break, doesn't it? It's just, I mean, Clayton Thorson is a very talented freshman, and he's going to, you know, someone that Minnesota's going to have to see for quite a few years. But he made some throws, like Derek said, that were timing routes that were spot on with pressure in his face, where in previous games he'd been throwing those for interceptions or bad incompletions. It is what it is, and it's something you can't draw on. But, again, I thought the defense, as Derek said, I thought they played well. They only gave up 13 points, as, again, Derek alluded to, seven of that was on a Mitch Leidner fumble, scoop and score, and then a punt return to the five, and you can't put that on the defense at all. I mean, it was signature Tracy plays, bend, don't break defense, where they had a Northwestern had a 14-play drive and not in a 19-play drive. That's not every day you see a 19-play drive. But Minnesota stiffened up at the goal line, and they only gave up field goals. As Derek said, Northwestern came out at the start of the second half, and they really, really got some things done on the ground, especially with Justin Jackson, and they went six plays for 68 yards in only 2 minutes. So, I mean, you just can't fault this goal for defense. It's just they were on the field for far too long because the offense couldn't get anything accomplished. I thought that guys like Antonio Johnson and Eric Murray played really well. Both had a tackle for loss and 9 and 7 tackles respectively. So it's just, you know, you're missing All-American Brian Body Calhoun. You're missing Demaryius Travis. You're missing now Craig James is out with a broken bone in his leg. You're getting by right now, and it's remarkable, actually, when you think about it. You're starting a walk-on at safety, and then your two other corners behind Jalen Myrick and Eric Murray are two true freshmen in Keontae Harden and Antonio Chanel. I mean, it's such a change from the defenses of old that, again, we're not talking about the secondary because, I mean, they're very talented, and they're credit Jay Sauvel and Tracy Clay and the rest of the defensive coaches. This defense is playing well, and it is too bad that the offense just can't really get it together. And the defense is playing well enough to win games right now. I mean, they only allow 13 points. I mean, it's tough to really say too much negative about them. I mean, it's just frustrating, I would say.
All right, I'll try and pick on the defense a little bit in terms of maybe some negatives. One thing that, you know, in this day in college football, it's hard to get sacks. But they've struggled a little bit getting sacks, and they've also struggled in forcing turnovers. I think, and I've tried to look this up while you guys were talking, but I think they've only forced 3 turnovers all year. Is that a real problem? And is this a trend for them going forward, or do we think this will turn around as the season goes on?
Well, I guess my opinion on that, a couple things going on. Given the game plans that the opposing team's offenses are running are not particularly indicative to interceptions. Now, fumbles, you could always use a fumble, and it's, I know they work with those guys to strip the ball, and you try to coach it as much as you can, but when it comes down to it, there is some luck, if you will, involved in that, and they just have not. They did get a fumble, but it bounced right into a Northwestern player's hands on Saturday, and they do need some of those to bounce their way. But as far as interceptions, the two things I'll say schematically on that, the Gophers are playing almost all man coverage, and the opposing team are coming back with timing routes. So it takes just frankly, it takes a bad throw in order to come up with an interception in those cases. And we haven't seen a lot of them. And we saw a couple in the Colorado State game, but apart from that, just haven't seen a lot. And lastly, when you're running a lot of three-step quick passing, which is what teams are relying on now to play against the Gophers, you're not going to get a lot of sacks, and right. You're not going to get a lot, generally, not going to get a lot of interceptions because you're not going to get to the quarterback. Their best chance, and I can't believe we're not seeing more of this, is to tip a ball at the line of scrimmage. They're trying, as we've talked about, to spy a defensive end and to drop a D lineman. They even dropped a tackle a couple times on Saturday into a zone coverage over the middle to try and help with the three-step passing. And they're jumping up and they're trying to knock down those three-step passes, and they've come just incredibly close on a few of them. And so going forward, that's their best chance at this point, barring any different game plans that they see from other offenses, to tip one of those balls at the line of scrimmage and tip it up and come down with an interception. Just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, so I did look this up now, and they have forced three fumbles as turnovers, and then three interceptions on the season. So they have six turnovers as a defense. But you know, as strong as we talked about this defense is going to be, I'm a little surprised that they haven't forced more turnovers.
I think it's also just looking at the opposing team and how many turnovers they've been able to get off Minnesota in recent games. Minnesota's lost the turnover battle. As far as the pass rush, one of the things that I thought it was curious is I thought a couple of times, or at least a few times, against Northwestern when it was third and long type situations, Minnesota would actually blitz their linebackers and a safety and then drop their defensive end and a defensive tackle back into zone coverage. I mean, they're trying a bunch of different things to try and get pressure, as obviously fans saw, you know, rushing forward hasn't gone well. I don't know, you know, if it's schematically wise or, you know, the different moves these defensive linemen are trying, but, you know, the quarterbacks have had far much too much time, so Tracy Clay is trying to be creative with his blitzes. And I think you're going to see it pay off here in the next few weeks, but it's just turnovers is something that Clay's talked about at his press conference last week, where Minnesota is not trying to force them. They're just trying to play their game, and if it happens to come, you know, come to them, they have to be able to make the play and go from there. But it just seems like they're not forcing a lot of turnovers because, you know, they're not winning the turnover battle. And it's something that has to change and go in Minnesota's direction here going forward if they're going to want to win games. It's tough to win the turnover battle. But, I mean, Derek, did you see what I saw as far as the defensive linemen dropping into coverage again?
Oh, yeah. They're doing more and more of that, again, in response to the offenses running three-step passing. It does two things. Your linebacker gets a full head of steam and is able to, and at certain times, you know, get a better pass rush than a defensive lineman coming out of a stance. Also, in theory, helps to confuse the offensive line because they're pre-snap, they're determining who they're going to be blocking or which gap based on how the defensive line is aligned. So they're trying. I mean, they're trying to drop those guys in order to maybe knock down some of those three-step passing and then, you know, just switch it with a blitzing safety or a linebacker. And I have to give credit, and on Saturday particularly, I thought that was the best offensive line that the Gophers have seen all year, including TCU. And they picked up everything. I mean, there was they didn't bring a plus one blitz many times. In other words, if they had five guys in, they didn't rush six or seven very many times. But they had plenty of times where Northwestern had five blockers and they brought four or five rushers and got nothing. So they were able to pick up all those blitzes, and yeah, it was unfortunate for the Gophers.
All right, let's move now to special teams. You know, a lot of activity for Mr. Mortel on Saturday with 299 yards punting. But yeah, let's talk also about the other facets of the special teams. Derek, what were your thoughts?
Well, obviously a big disappointment in the punting game, and that was probably Peter Mortel's worst game thus far this year. And not to say that it was a horrible game overall for him. He did have some good punts. But he had two or three line drives, and that doesn't help. And the one returned for a touchdown, or to the 5-yard line rather, didn't get enough air under it, and it started with that. And you know, obviously weren't able to get the coverage. Eric Murray came in early, and you know, sort of a borderline block in the back that wasn't called, and it probably shouldn't have been called. It was pretty borderline, and the returner took it up, and they had a guy, Gophers had a guy right there, on about 5 or 6 yards on the return right there and just missed the tackle. So and he was able to take it to the outside and take it down to the 5-yard line. So disappointing to see on the punt coverage and, punt return still. It's difficult on TV, you know, watching the replay on some of the special teams, just because you don't have a very wide angle to be able to look at all the coverages, but try to look a little bit closer on some of their punt returns, and I can't figure out what the punt return scheme is, frankly. You know, I think they went for one or maybe two blocks, not all out blocks, but one or two punt blocks during the game. But even the times that they went punt return, I'm kind of at a loss what their scheme is. They've got four or five guys coming through unblocked on almost every punt return, and so that's something they've got to get cleaned up. I'm sure they know that, and that's something that they're working on. So that was, you know, again, that's something they just need more out of. I thought actually the kick return looked okay. They haven't broken one yet, but they look like they're doing okay in that regard, and maybe have the opportunity to start getting some more yards out of that. And then the kicking game, beyond that, just, you know, nothing really stuck out on the kickoff or field goal unit, I guess, to me. But so overall, they need to really just sort of erase the blemishes on, so if they could just get average play out of the special teams and not have a, you know, fumble on a punt return or a big return on the kick coverage. I think they'd be happy with that, just to come out with par, you know, on the special teams game. And this is the second game they've not been able to do that. So I'm sure they're working on it.
Yeah. I just, you know, Martell, it was weird to see shank a punt. And when you're, you know, for all the great punts he's had over the last 2 years, you know, he shanked the first one, and then he had a line drive for the second one where the coverage wasn't able to get downfield. It's been a tough couple of weeks for this Gopher special teams, and it's something that, you know, I'm frankly not used to. Is special teams is something that's won multiple games for Jerry Kill the last few years, and to see it, you know, take a step back a little bit these last few games, it's something that I think tells you how, you know, is indicative of how the overall team is playing. It's, you know, if Jerry Kill's special teams aren't going well, and usually, you know, the team's not doing well in general. It just seems to have worked itself out that way. But it's, as Derek said, I don't want to, you know, repeat too many things, as, you know, him and I are very much on the same page. But there's just a lot of things they have to clean up, and especially heading into a definitely not a pushover game this week against Purdue, who gave Michigan State all they could handle last week. Minnesota's going to have to bring it. They're going to have to absolutely bring it on Saturday.
All right, let's finish up and talk a little bit about the game plan and coaching. What were your thoughts about this Northwestern game in regards to game plan and coaching, Derek?
Well, I think on the defensive side, it hasn't changed much for the Gophers. They know what they like to do. They're going to go with their game plan. I don't think they've changed it radically from team to team. I think TCU be the one game that they played more zone, but what they want to do is they want to run man coverage and man press coverage particularly, and you know, force teams to run the ball, and they're going to accept 5 and 6 yard gains until they need to tighten up, and that with the bend don't break, and they're going to bring blitzes when they can, and I think that's what they ran, and I think that was fine. Again, I think it worked out okay for them. I think they do need to get that little bit of that run defense with some of those. I think they're missing some of those starters. In the secondary on run defense, I thought pass wise they did fine, but they need to get some of their run fits worked out against zone running. But overall, I thought the game plan was fine. On the offensive side, you know, I think that what they'll do, what the coaches will do this week, if I'm guessing here, is they'll go back to two things. They'll go back to, with the offensive line in particular, they'll go back to base fundamentals, and they'll go back and say, you know, guys, we're gonna work on these two running plays, and this is what we're gonna be good at, and we're gonna hang our hat on this, and you know, forget. It doesn't mean they won't call any other runs on Saturday, but that's what they're gonna work on with those guys. It's just go back to fundamentals, and they're gonna work on power, and they're gonna work on zone, and they're gonna get that cleaned up, and they're just gonna say, if we're going to run this for 3 yards, we're going to run it for 3 yards, but we're going to run it right. And I think that's what they'll do. And coaching wise, I think that's what they'll tell the players. But I think coaching wise, what they'll try and do is, I think Kill will challenge the offensive coaches to find a way to take a little bit of the pressure out of the running game. You know, they've got to, in my opinion, they've got to get the defenses out of the mode of playing run first and coming downhill on the snap, whether it's running plus one in the box or even, you know, running even numbers in the box, just you've got to look, if you get a chance, go back and look at some of the times Minnesota ran power on Saturday and just watch the secondary and the linebackers from Northwestern. When they see power, it's like they're shot out of a cannon towards the line of scrimmage. That's how hard they're playing run. So I think the challenge for the Gophers coaches is to find a way to take some of that pressure, whether it's, you know, more play action on first and second down, whether it's trying to develop a vertical game and passing. They've done a little bit of horizontal passing, with bubble screen and some of the running back screens and things like that. I think they'll probably try and continue that, but that will be their challenge, I think for this week.
Yeah, they have to figure out some things on the offensive side of the ball, and that even comes with all the coaching, obviously. They have to put the players in the best position to win, and I think they have to reevaluate some things after Saturday as far as what personnel groups are realistically going to give Minnesota the best chance to win in 2015. It didn't seem like it was that way on Saturday just because of the tough performances, but, you know, Northwestern does have a very stout defense. But again, Minnesota's got to be able to accomplish something. As Derek said, when they did see power, it was Anthony Walker was coming through the line, or the defensive end was crashing down, and the tight end wasn't able to get the down block, and it was a tackle for loss. You know, Northwestern had 9 or 10 tackles for loss on Saturday, and that's frankly way too much. I think that they have to reevaluate things from a passing game standpoint as well. As I touched on, the route tree for these combinations is just far too small. And defenses, I think, are keying into that, seeing that, and they're able to get a jump on it. And for a receiving group that already does have some issues in getting separation, and if the DB knows what route you're going to run before you even run it, I don't care how good of a route runner you are, that's tough to beat. And so I think they may need to introduce some new routes or something, and just to switch things up to keep defenses on their heels. And the defensive side of the ball, I don't think that's to change much. Again, it's a Tracy Clay defense. They really only gave up 13 points to a Big Ten team. And for most games, you're going to win if you only give up 13 points, especially to a ranked top 15 team like Northwestern. But on the offensive side of the ball, they got to do some reevaluating.
All right. Well, I think that'll pretty much do it for this episode. Derek, I want to thank you again for joining. It's always fun to get your perspective, especially since you've actually played in some of these games that we're talking about. So again, if you listen to the podcast, check it out on iTunes. We'd appreciate if you leave a ranking, and a comment would be appreciated as well. So for Ryan, Derek, and myself, thanks for listening.